At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This month at postwrestlingcafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. Postwrestlingcafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.
When Ryan's, when it's time to begin, it's on the Rewind to Raw with John Pollock and waiting the A-Team that makes sense of these things we see in the ring every week on TV. It's Rewind to Raw. For Monday night, download a Tuesday morning from the Post Wrestling site. It's Rewind to Raw. For Monday night on USA Now on the John and Wade take the mic.
We are here, folks, counting down until Canada Day in 60 minutes.
Well, happy early Canada Day, John, and anybody else celebrating Canada Day, wherever you are.
Yes, wherever you are, we hope you are celebrating Canada's birth, the U.S.'s independence, or anything else. Maybe you're not celebrating any of this. Maybe it's just
the beginning of July, the beginning of a new month.
You know what I celebrate at the beginning of each month?
What's that?
Way's beautiful graphics informing everybody about what the Post Wrestling Cafe is putting into your ears over the next 30 days. And ladies and gentlemen, if we were to take the Post Wrestling Cafe and conduct a urine test, we would pop so hot. We would be given a 4-year suspension immediately. That's how positive this month is at the Post Wrestling Cafe. It's the start of our G1 coverage beginning the weekend of July 19th and 20th. We are going to have podcasts coming at you left, right, and center, covering every single match in the tournament over that month. It's a great time to jump on board. $6, and you're going to get all the G1 coverage. This Thursday, Way and I are going to the movies. We're going to review F1, starring Brad Pitt, Javier Bardem. We're gonna find out how F1 translated to the big screen. I also want to know Way's live experience of going to the movies.
I went to watch it in 4D.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you know what that is?
Partially. Did you have to wear glasses?
No. Oh. Well, that's only the third dimension, John. Okay, get into the fourth dimension.
Oh, was there like wind and water coming at you and stuff? I guess
not for this particular theater, but my seat did move, and it moved a lot for this movie.
I've done that before. I think I saw a Fast and the Furious with those. I was not as crazy about them.
You didn't like it, really? Well, I'll let you know what I thought.
Okay, that's coming up on Thursday. Waiting and John Pollock go to the movies. This month, we're also going to be bringing you Rewind Away. Great musical edition last week from Nate, Chris, and Away going through WWF Full Metal, the album. I will be back later this month. We're going to chat about Vengeance 2005, featuring Triple H and Batista in a Hell in a Cell, along with Sabu against John Cena. The match you never thought you would see on a WWE pay-per-view occurred on this Vengeance card as well. Plus, we have got Ironheart that Rich Van and WH Park are currently in the midst of reviewing. Plus, ad-free editions of this show and all of our weekly releases. And you get the XL edition of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown with all of the news that is fit to discuss.
Can I make an executive decision right now?
You are the general manager of Post Wrestling, and we do what you wave your magic wand and command.
We truly did not have a chance to discuss this beforehand, but those of you who are signed into the Post Wrestling Cafe on any of our paid tiers, we thank you. We also offer a free tier for people who just want to sign on and may occasionally just receive some freebies. Let's put on today's XL edition for free for those of the people who decided to sign on for free. John, you're going to have to be okay with this decision. I know.
Wow. How big. That's an incredible value. That's so good. Man, I'm signing up right now.
So postwrestlingcafe.com, you don't have to pay anything. Just sign up for free as a little sample of what's to come in July.
Yes. You know, support Post Wrestling and you get shows like this, and you also get work like the kind that Brandon Thurston delivered to us on Monday. Because, folks, we take this and we put it back into the site. And we got the opinion piece of all opinion pieces from Brandon Thurston. From defiance to dignity, CM Punk's redemptive turn towards nihilism. All right? This was... This kind of caught the wave of the online discourse today. Brandon Thurston, my goodness, is there anything this man cannot do? Just a literary wonder to read this.
It's such a good article. It's so good, and it's received tremendous attention from the wrestling space, and deservedly so.
Some people not fans of it, but that's okay. That's what these pieces are there to generate. It's
welcome to the internet where there's no unanimous decision.
All opinions are welcome.
I'm trying to think who would you cast to do a reading of this article if you wanted the tone perfectly captured? Like anybody in the world. Any voice in the world.
Number one, AJ Styles. Number two, Neil Flanagan. Number three, Loki.
Loki? Okay, my number one would have been Norm MacDonald. Imagine Norm MacDonald. I would bring Norm back from the dead just to read this article from Brandon Thurston.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to see how well this... So it was a stirring moment of humility and courage, and CM Punk rose to the occasion, not just to perform... but to reflect, and WWE executives and no doubt Saudi princes were somewhere watching.
I didn't know you had Norm within you.
I didn't either. I've never done Norm MacDonald in my life.
You do Mark Shapiro?
I'm not just
confident and bullish about where that's going.
All right, go read this. Neither of us can do it justice. Norm MacDonald can't do it justice, but I thought this was quite the day for the site. We had some great stuff on there, including my interview that I've now put out for everybody with Mark Raimondi, the author of Say Hello to the Bad Guys, analyzing and reporting on the NWO. And Mark worked on this extensively for a number of years, tracking down a lot of interesting names, some really well-known and some obscure figures. But the obscure figures are the ones that tend to have like a lot of the interesting details, stuff about like the creation of the NWO logo, which that story made its way onto TMZ this week from Mark's book. But here is a short sample of that interview where Mark talks about the decline of WCW after they were riding high, and a lot of that focuses on 1998.
98, you saw the creative kind of fell off a cliff a little bit, especially by the middle to the end of the year. And the business is still good, but the creative is not good. So it takes a while for the business to catch up to the creative as far as that goes. And the same thing on the other side. The creative can be really good when you're building it up, and the business is not there yet. So it takes a little bit to kind of establish that credibility with the audience. But Starrcade 97 was kind of the first like chink in the armor where you could see that credibility with the audience start to dissipate, because that was just a debacle. We don't need to even go into that. You know, for wrestling fans, they know how bad that was. But what people forget, John, I think, is that the night show after Starrcade 97 was an absolute mess. It was the rematch between Hogan and Sting, and the show goes off the air before the finish of the match. And they don't show the finish again until a week and a half later on the premiere of Thunder as a ratings ploy. And even then, with that, there was no definitive conclusion that the title went vacant. So it was like Starrcade 97 was bad, but you could have passed it up the next day. You could have made it right and moved on and still had a sustained, coherent, creative direction. You're pretty much giving like the middle finger to your audience that has been investing in this Sting character and the storyline for over a year, because now you're going off the air and you're not showing it until, you know, as a draw to get people to watch the new show. That was so kind of crummy of them. You know, that was really kind of like cheap of them. That could have been like the big celebration of WCW, Starrcade 97 and beyond, and you know, Sting wins, and maybe that's the end of the NWO, or at least that part of the story arc. And it just didn't happen that way. It was just so muddled.
So for more of that, you can go to postwrestling.com or on the Post Wrestling YouTube channel, chatting with Mark Grimondi about all things NWO. Plus, I did talk to him a bit about his move going from covering MMA for ESPN to now he's covering the Atlanta Falcons of the NFL and why he made that decision to exit MMA when he did, and some of his thoughts on like where the media industry was going in MMA, and also being, you know, working for ESPN, as you know, which is holds the broadcast rights for the UFC. So great discussion with Mark Grimondi that is up at postwrestling.com. Now it is time to shift on over to Raw, where they were hosting a double taping on Monday night. 13,432 was the WrestleTix latest reported figure. They announced over 14,000 on the broadcast, and they have already wrapped up the SmackDown tapings. So I will warn people at the very end, after feedback, we might go over some news that came out of the SmackDown, but we will do that right at the end and give people fair warning that don't want any spoilers. But tonight's Raw, Corey Graves back in his hometown. So we did get Pat McAfee addressing last week that he kind of just was exhausted. He was burnt out. And I don't blame this guy. That I do wonder about this being, you know, long term, if this is going to be sustainable for him, where, you know, it's remarkable to me that he's been holding up this schedule as much, to going live for 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, and traveling to that night's Raw every single Monday. Like, he's got a young child, you know.
Oh man, yeah.
Could you imagine, Wei? if you threw in a flight every Monday,
going to the movies this afternoon was something that was very difficult to achieve. So, yeah, clearly he loves everything he's getting to do, and like, I mean, anybody would only dream of the opportunities that, you know, he's been presented. So I can imagine how tough it is to say no, but at some point I'm sure your body, if not maybe your family, you know, will make you say no. So understandable. Yeah,
Rhea Ripley started the show, and she pretty much just put the whole Raquel thing, like, that's it, it's done. And the way it ended, like the street fight, I mean, it was a pretty decisive win. She said she's putting both Raquel and the Judgment Day behind her, and we've got Evolution coming up, and boom, Io Sky comes out, and Adam Pearce has allowed Io to choose her opponent for Evolution. So she says that Ripley, to be the best, you need this. And she's picking Rhea Ripley. So Ripley says she will stop at nothing to beat Io. And remember, you wanted this. And we have our match for Evolution. And by the end of tonight, we have pretty much like most of this card for Evolution, because we've got 2 weeks to promote this next show.
Yeah, we can assume the main event of Evolution.
I would say yes. And yeah. I think it's definitely a question mark now. If Nikki Bella is even attached to the show anymore, I would guess not, because she, for the second week in a row, was not even mentioned for anything. And we know now Raquel is going to be in this tag match. Mm-hmm. So,
I don't think Nikki would qualify as any of the other teams at the moment.
No, I mean, they set up one team on SmackDown, another's an NXT team, and then I guess you do have a Raw team, which.
Which Nikki is not in a Raw team. She's not even really a Raw performer, right?
Yes. Yeah. So, I'm trying to think who even are Raw teams besides Natalya and Maxine. They have
that
to face.
That would be it.
Probably. Well, maybe they qualify right there. Yeah. But anyway, no mention of Nikki or anything so far since the Liv Morgan injury as well. To answer your question, yeah, I would say unless they go with the match that we're going to get announced on SmackDown this week, which is a fairly high profile match.
Okay. I appreciate your I know you're walking on eggshells, like trying not to mention any.
I take torpedoes. Okay, there's stuff I can talk about anything, but when it comes to spoilers, that's when the arrows come out for me. So
can we make an exception? Like, we're just, you know, is it such a big spoiler that like it would affect
not really
people's enjoyment?
I mean, it was kind of out there to
spoiler warning. Okay, I'm gonna hold my hand up, all right, everybody on YouTube. Cover your ears, little boys and girls. Okay, the adults are going to be talking about spoilers. So what is the match?
So it will be Tiffany Stratton against Trish Stratus for Tiffany's title at Evolution. Gotcha. So
I don't see that being a.
I agree. I think Rhea and Io is the bigger match. So
yeah,
based on the lineup so far, this is what I think would headline the show.
Got it. Okay. Wow, I can't believe that
you just ruined it. Now I got to spend 4th of July miserable. Judgment Day is in the back, and this was a very big night for Judgment Day. Dom is confronted by AJ, and Dom pulls out his doctor's note and says, "I'm not cleared." And Pierce has said, "If you put a finger on me, you lose the chance to have the title match." So AJ puts on his his cheaters, as they would call them. He puts on his reading glasses. That's what some people call reading glasses. A lot of people thought Punk looked old on Friday. I mean, Alan here, I mean, just aged like a decade here when he put these glasses on to read.
I think we just saw a new level of AJ Styles, okay? We've seen regular AJ, or we've seen Lone Wolf AJ, we've seen Ice Bath AJ, which we thought was like, you know, the highest level. He's advanced to an even greater level beyond that. This is super, super, super Saiyan AJ with the reading glasses. Reading glasses AJ, next level.
This. He looks at the doctor's note. "Oh, hell, the doctor says you're a punk ass." And he threatens to beat Dom, who reminds him, "I've got a doctor's note. I just explained this to you." And so Dom is, I kind of like this gimmick with the doctor's note, and I'm always down for AJ reading something. So that's what we've gotten. It looks like they're just going to hold off on this. They could hold this off for a while. I don't know if you blow this out off on television, because if not, it's like SummerSlam's the nearest you could do this.
Well, the fact that like Dom's still on TV suggests to me that like they're going to get to this sooner than later. But I guess like won't be Saturday night's main event. That's too soon.
Either a Raw or it's SummerSlam, and I mean you do have two nights to do. So like the
SummerSlam's a month away. Like I could see that. You know,
it's not that far. It's
1 month.
Yeah, we're talking 1 month.
Yeah. I think AJ's got to keep these glasses, okay? He needs to work it into his finisher. Like, he should get on the apron, put on the glasses, then do the forearm. Like, okay, before that, he should miss all of his forearms because he can't see. And then he puts the glasses on, and that's when he connects it.
Oh, the four eyes forearm. I love it. That's phenomenal. Hell.
Support for this podcast comes from NordVPN. By now, a lot of our listeners already know about the benefits of a VPN for their wrestling consumption, helping them access cheaper prices for pay-per-views or ad-free programming through international versions of popular streaming services. But the most important benefit of a VPN continues to be its ability to help you shield your browsing. Using a trusted VPN like NordVPN adds an extra layer of protection from prying eyes, preventing your sensitive data from being sold or shared with third parties that may put you at risk of unwanted solicitations or even fraud. You know the link by now. NordVPN.com/postwrestling. Sign up for a 2-year plan for just a few dollars per month and get 4 bonus months through our exclusive offer. NordVPN.com/postwrestling. As always, you can try it with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Stay safe and enjoy all the benefits of a secure internet with Nord. This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 27th through July 7th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
It's G1 Climax season, and that means the Post Wrestling Cafe has you covered with podcasts covering every single tournament match. Plus, we've got Rewind Away going back to 2005 to review Vengeance featuring Triple H versus Batista in a Hell in a Cell match. John and Way are going to be reviewing F1 the Movie starring Brad Pitt. And of course, XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown. Ad-free with the news of the week and your feedback. Sign up now at postwrestlingcafe.com.
New Day against Finn Balor and JD McDonagh for the World Tag Titles. Kofi offered Balor a pancake. This was a very good match, I thought. Balor gets the, and the Judgment Day worked this as the baby faces in the match. I wasn't quite sure how this one was going to work, but they just worked it like, you know, it was Balor and JD working for the hot tags and then building up near falls. And man, when they got into the near falls, like it got really heated. We saw JD here with a Asai moonsault to Woods on the floor. And then JD holds Woods in place for the coup de grace. But as Balor comes off the top, JD moves. It's Woods that moves and JD takes the coup de grace, allowing New Day to capitalize. They hit a midnight hour on Balor for a near fall. Then it's JD with a Spanish fly onto Woods. Kingston is in to make the save. The crowd's just getting into all these teases and saves. Finally, Woods is laid out with a sling blade on the floor. JD hits a moonsault to Woods. Kingston is taken out with the sling blade. Woods eats the moonsault, followed by the coup de grace. Balor pins Xavier Woods, and we have new tag team champions in 12 minutes and 23 seconds. Title change got the big title change pop, and Dom comes out to celebrate with the titles. And by the end of the night, it is confirmed like all the Judgment Day members have titles.
Yeah. It was really interesting matchmaking just in the first place, you know, having this match because they're both heels and you're putting JD and Balor, arguably bigger heels on this show, in the position of being babyfaces in this match, which was a really interesting choice. One that the crowd really managed to get behind because they were immediately chanting for Balor almost as if like he never, like back in his like NXT days or like, you know, early babyface days. Really interesting. And all of that leads me to think that this might have been a very late decision to make. And how much of it had to do with Liv Morgan's injury speeding things up? It just makes me wonder. You know, I have no proof of anything, of course. But I feel like a title change like this would have been built up to a little bit more with maybe some interactions between New Day and Balor and JD. This felt very abrupt.
It was very abrupt, but it was also something that you needed a new team in the mix. So I did like it from that standpoint that you've now established Balor and JD as a serious team in this division and somewhere for them to be. It certainly like kind of came out of nowhere. And I think that was part of it. Like the crowd, they were popping for the near falls, but I don't think they necessarily expected to get the title change, but kind of serviced like the bigger Judgment Day story that they were telling tonight.
And now we await to see how active like JD and Balor will be, because wasn't it their gimmick before it was the New Day's that these two would never defend their championships either?
Yeah, it's everyone's gimmick in the tag division that we never wrestle with these belts.
And we wonder why the division isn't really much of one.
Jackie Redmond spoke with Bayley. She still wants the IC title from Becky, but Lyra got in my business. So Lyra walks in and she is just completely blown away by this statement and says, "You didn't return my texts." So this is war. Lyra was going to apologize, but I don't know who you are anymore. It's like, you literally cost this woman the match last week. Like, she had it won and you dove into the ring causing the DQ. She's absolutely owed an apology, Bayley is. So
should have answered the text, man. Come on.
Adam Pearce, the superior general manager, walks in saying, "I knew this was going to happen. I've booked a match between you two tonight in a number one contenders match to determine who Becky will face." So he did not just leave the last hour open. He knew that this problem has been brewing. He knows that texts have been sent and not responded to. He knows that they get into the same building. They will argue and we will get a reason to do our match. So Adam Pearce is thinking many steps ahead.
Yeah. What if they didn't have this interaction? What if they're just like, "Hey, sorry about that last week. You know, yeah, I've got no issues with you. Let's move on."
It'd be like Vince McMahon with Brett and Shawn, where he would just go back and forth and just, "Hey, did you hear what Brett said about you?"
Essentially. I think Lyra continues to really break out of her shell in these sort of backstage segments. You know, we always knew she was a great wrestler, but I think she's proven to be a very capable performer with this sort of dialogue heavy, you could even say acting heavy, you know, sort of roles. And she's got really good chemistry with Bayley. And I think Bayley's doing a great job too. So I'm actually enjoying all of these. Both of them are very well-rounded, as we will discuss in the match itself.
But first, Way, it's time to turn back the clock. And I thought that hearing Punk Life was going to be my trip back 20 plus years ago. But then we got the beautiful music of 3 Days Grace with Dominate for Bill Gold. I have not thought about this band in 20 years.
I had to look them up. Like, I was shocked to find out they were actually still active and that they had careers that had, like, at this point lasted, what, like 40 years, 30 years at least, you know? Crazy. Yeah.
Well, Bill Goldberg, who hates everything about Gunther. I mean, this was a really good video package. Like,
oh, yeah.
Chronicling, like, all his WCW big moments. His not so great 2003 WWE run that editing can save anything, and then the return in 2016 and right up to the present with Gunther. Really good piece that they put together here on Goldberg. This is how you promote Goldberg, is, you know, these short bursts, highlights. I mean, he is
3 days grace.
3 days grace.
Any band from the 90s, but extra points for, I guess, a Canadian one hit wonder. Yeah.
Yeah, it was going to be either this or Good Charlotte, and they made the right choice.
That's more 2000s, you know? Like, if you want something from, like I don't know, 1999. Yes.
Yeah, well, that was our involvement of Bill Goldberg on this show. Sorry, this photo is just like, man, it feels like he's just looking right into my soul.
Oh, that's his appeal. Yeah, no, about as good of a way. Like, I don't think Goldberg showing up would have really done that much better than what this video achieved. It's especially because, as we'll discuss in the interview with Gunther, I don't know how Goldberg would have been received in Pittsburgh tonight. You know, we know how he'll be received in Atlanta. They will cheer for him as a babyface. But in Pittsburgh, I'm not so sure.
There was a replay of Penta breaking Chad Gable's arm last week with the sacrifice, and we get Gable in a sling telling American Made that they've got to hold down the fort while he's gone. And Pierce makes a joke, I guess we won't see El Grande Americano for a while. And Gable responds, well, you never know. And he tells Ivy Nile to conquer Stephanie Vaquer and for the Creeds to fulfill their potential and listen to Ivy. Ivy's in control.
Yeah. I mean, obviously unfortunate injury, but it's giving a chance for the Creeds and for Nile to get more into a speaking role. So I wonder if they're ready, honestly, especially if they're having to, like, you know, replace like a Chad Gable, which is very difficult. But
I think this group is going to be hurt without having the central mouthpiece unless one of these three really step up.
I think it'll be the new El Grande Americano.
Well, yeah, we will get to that point. Balor and McDonagh meet with Pierce and Aldis, and Balor suggests that Raquel keep the tag titles and gets to pick a new partner, and suggests Roxanne Perez. And Aldis and Pierce agree, but they have to prove that they are worthy of being champions. They will defend at Evolution in a four-way match with a team from Raw, a team from SmackDown, and a team from NXT.
Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm.
Rusev against Sheamus. We had the mention here. This is what everyone took away from this, was Michael Cole name-dropping Alberto Del Rio when he was mentioning the members of the League of Nations. I don't know how much you really read into
I read
like
nothing
that.
Into yeah. that. I mean, it's a factual thing. Like, he mentioned Del Rio the way he, I don't know, would mention any wrestler, no matter where they were employed.
Yep. This, what a memorable unit this was.
Yes.
So Rusev comes off the edge and is power slammed by Sheamus, and they had a very physical match. At one point, Sheamus hit the bombs away knee drop, which Graves even brought up Ray Stevens when mentioning. Sheamus eventually hits the 10 beats, but goes to 15. The brogue kick gets avoided, and it's now Rusev going to attack when Sheamus lands a pair of big knees. And Cole says, this reminds me of a late 70s match. And Graves says, in the best way possible. I think he was thinking of some of those WWF slogs at the time. The good matches in the late 70s.
No, seriously. Like, what? I haven't seen much wrestling from the late 70s. Like, did it look anything like
I mean, if you
this?
Were, if you're being specific to WWF, I mean, it was, you know, like, they were like a heavyweight territory. And, you know, you had, you know, your occasional decent matches. But this was not a work rate territory. But again,
okay.
He was being...
So just the fact that...
I think that's what Graves was qualifying here is that, I mean, if you think late 70s WWF, you're not seeing too many classics. You're not seeing matches like this, for instance. But Rusev gets the accolade. Sheamus powers to his feet. They crash to the floor, and he hits Rusev with a brogue kick. Both men break the count, and they fight on the turnbuckle, where Sheamus gets thumbed to the eye. And then with an exposed turnbuckle, Sheamus is sent in sternum first and drilled with the Machka kick as Rusev wins in 20 minutes and 23 seconds. I think Rusev wrestled more tonight than he has in the last, like, 4 years combined.
I think that that's a safe bet, I guess. Honestly, John, I was a little surprised at how quiet the crowd was for this one to start. I don't know if you felt the same way. They just weren't really reacting to this in the way that I would have expected, like a very clear sort of direction push for this being like a big meat match between like two guys with actual history. I expected just like the face off between the two to receive a lot more reaction to this, but it took a while for them to even get into a period where it felt like the crowd were actually invested. But they got there, they had plenty of time to deliver like the physicality and I think the intensity that you would expect from here. Sheamus in particular continues to just like show great fire as he has throughout this entire babyface run, and he really just like, well, it might be partially it's due to the like just how much sweat he gives off, but he really looks like he's pouring his heart out like into all of these matches, and it just makes you want to like him more as a babyface. Rusev, like I thought was very good. I'm waiting to see more though from him from this run. Like there's still like he's a very strong performer, but there just needs to be like that extra thing that really makes him burst out into like a higher level where he's really grabbing your attention. And I don't know if that's like with the right partner or maybe for further storyline development, but it was a good start, I felt.
It's funny, like you, and this really does shine a light on some of the misconceptions at times, or at least, you know, the exception that goes against the rule is that, you know, you're going to get a better representation of the bigger personalities in WWE, whereas like the wrestling is going to stand out a lot in AEW. And I think that the Rusev character as Miro was felt so much more bigger than life and charismatic in AEW that he has shown me none of that here. Like he just, I think that's kind of the case. Like he's just not that over with the audience. You know, he got the big pop coming back, but it hasn't really sustained. It's not like he's gotten off to this great run. And I think like his promos in AEW, that was the evolution of that character in AEW, where he cut these amazing promos, and he's gotten chances to talk here in WWE, but I just have not seen the same spark that I saw in AEW.
Yeah. And it just could be that like, listen, I mean, to you and I, like we've all basically seen this version of Rusev. We saw it in Miro. He was essentially like developing it back there. So I don't know if it's just because we've seen it that already that this doesn't feel so fresh. But at the same time, I'm willing to bet that most of the WWE audience wasn't necessarily watching AEW, and to them, they're not reacting to this like it's any sort of like fresh thing. And for me, I think I just have high expectations for Rusev, just given like his past successes in, you know, his initial run with Lana, Rusev Day being like as big of a fan connecting type of like thing as it was. This in comparison feels like it's still maybe like, you know, at a level beneath what we believe him to be capable of.
Pierce and Aldis then announce a battle royal at Evolution. The winner will receive a title match at Clash in Paris on August 31st. So
might be the Nikki Bella spot.
Yeah, that just seems like such a nothing spot though for her in a match like that. But
we'll see.
I mean,
we'll see. They could just announce something quick too. Because like, okay, let's. What do we have so far on the card?
So we have.
Oh, sorry.
What are you talking about?
I was
going through the first Evolution.
We got the SmackDown championship match.
We have Io Sky against Rhea Ripley. We have Tiffany Stratton defending her title. JC Jane against Jordan Grace for the NXT title. The four-way women's tag and the battle royal as well. So that's they're already at five matches so far, and right. I think it's a lock that we're going to get Becky defending the Intercontinental title, probably a three-way, so that's six.
They don't typically do more than five for these pay-per-views, and six if they consider it a big deal.
Well, there's not a chance they're doing this show without Becky Lynch.
Yeah, right.
So I see that one for sure being added to this. Interesting. It does not feel like there's a spot for a Nikki Bella beyond the Battle Royal. Which
maybe she wins the Battle Royal.
Yeah. I guess that's possible.
I don't know.
Or she signs with Raw and gets a partner. That's kind of the options.
Okay.
Jackie is with American Made. They have a lot of work to do. And Ivy will be in that Battle Royal. And then we get El Timu Americano coming in as Ludwig Kaiser has apparently...
Well, you don't know that, John. How do you know that?
You're right. I have never seen Ludwig Kaiser. and, you know, all of us were Brutus Creed in this moment. Yeah, we'll see. I saw this and just this visual did not scream home run for me. But
what?
I'm definitely judging way too early. I don't know. We'll see. I'm definitely judging way too early.
I love this. Okay. I mean, they were teasing it by having Kaiser in the background last week and also in the prior segment. I think it's so ridiculous that they didn't even attempt to find somebody who looks remotely similar in stature to Gable that I love it. You know, like, I mean, the initial gimmick was it was ridiculous to begin with. They've made it even more ridiculous now by picking a German to play an American playing a Mexican. It is great. It's great for Kaiser, gives him a role, you know, after not really doing anything for months.
It does give him a role.
I mean, I think it's a very strong role. Now, okay.
This is not a strong role, Way.
It's strong in that it's going to give him very consistent airtime, okay?
It will give him airtime, period, which is something he does not have. So, this is a step up from nothing.
It'll give him a lot of airtime, and I think it'll be an entertaining gimmick that will elicit, like, strong reactions and will remain in people's minds if they book him, you know, well enough. So, and who doesn't want to see some matchups between Kaiser and you know, any of the luchadors?
Yeah, I mean, it's something for the guy, yes. Gunther comes out. You remember Gunther and Kaiser used to be a pair together?
Yeah, I did.
They've gone their separate ways.
Yeah, I wonder what Gunther thinks about this.
I would love to know his thoughts. He comes out. This guy is like the most underrated promo.
We have the Sami Zayn attack in the back.
Oh, yes, because Jackie runs towards Zayn to get in a word, but before she can, Zayn gets attacked by Karrion Kross. He goes, say it! Say it! I think we are building towards a say it match.
A say it match. Yeah. Like an I quit match.
Instead of I quit, you've got to give the long sentence.
Karrion Kross was right and I'm a liar.
I'm a horrible person. You have to say. So he takes him out with a pipe. And so Zayn will be compromised going into tonight's main event with injured ribs. And probably we're going to get more of Zayn and Karrion Kross.
I don't think I need to see the match again, but I mean, you know, I saw plenty of positive response to the match as well. Kross is very popular, yes.
Gunther comes out. He says that Goldberg's video tonight summed up everything, just like his matches. 3 minutes. He says he's not afraid of what is left of Goldberg as a 58-year-old man riding out his career on his coattails. He is not capable of beating me for the title. I'm very capable of beating him in under 3 minutes, but I'm going to take my time. I'm going to blow him up and embarrass him. This is the best storyline for a Goldberg match. I'm going to wear you out and Mark Coleman you. He is the biggest bully around here, and I'm going to treat you like a piece of crap at Saturday night's main event. People are asking if Goldberg still got it. I'm going to expose that Goldberg never had it. And then I will beat him and ask who's next. And boom, like clockwork, out comes Seth Rollins with his new custom briefcase that will, how much will this be going for? $60, $70?
$3,000.
Sure. Him and Heyman come out and Gunther says, you know, you guys traveled a long way to achieve nothing. In Saudi Arabia, Rollins says, we didn't go there to cash in, but I said I will never allow CM Punk to be champion. And the crowd starts chanting for Punk. Rollins says it's an all-out assault on both titles and congratulates Gunther. CM Punk races down to the ring and he attacks Seth. And Rollins, with the good old thumb to the eye, and runs away as Punk calls him a coward. And then Punk gets into it with Gunther and shoves him down as Rollins is left. And as Rollins is in the stands watching all this, he gets jumped by LA Knight as they fight into the concourse. And wouldn't you know it, Seth takes a drink to LA Knight's eyes. So just go for the babyface's eyes, okay? When in doubt, whether you're Rusev, whether you're Rollins, it's the easiest way.
Well, that used to be Rollins' gimmick.
What, throwing shit?
Taking eyes out.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, he's definitely doing a more PG version of it now. Yes. Maybe that's what this is building towards, maybe.
Eye for an eye. Yeah, maybe.
So, yeah, a lot happened in this segment of setting up various directions. The key one being Punk and Gunther. Like, that was not done for no reason.
Very interesting. So Punk fails in one championship attempt and likely to
consolation.
Get another.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they set up a lot here, you know. I mean, the push at the beginning was for Goldberg versus Gunther, of course, but then you have Rollins versus Gunther as a tease. Now, what's notable about the Gunther-Goldberg promo? Man, Gunther was cheered for every threat he made against Bill Goldberg.
He had a great promo. I mean, he had some great lines in here. I mean, Punk could have taken notes here from, you know, Gunther didn't come out here and rap and look like.
I also think, like, there's a very large section of the audience who sees, like, at this point, somebody like a Bill Goldberg coming in and just being a very undeserving, like, participant on the show, being put into, like, this sort of situation. And that is baby-facing somebody who has earned his spot through merit, like a Gunther. And listen, this is not going to be any sort of issue for Atlanta because it'll be Atlanta and they will go crazy for Bill Goldberg's last match. But it just made me wonder, like, if the sentiment shared tonight in Pittsburgh is more reflective of, like, the general audience's feelings towards this Gunther-Goldberg match.
I don't deny, like, that does seem to be a sentiment. I mean, at the end of the day, like, it's a TV match, but, you know, they decided to put the title into this program where they felt that that was going to elevate this this match. But there is that aspect to it. Like, you wouldn't have any of that if this was just these two straight up in a match. But they went this direction. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then what do you see right now as, like, the Punk direction through the next, like, month or so? Because right, obviously it doesn't look like he's not going to be doing anything on set, or at least probably not having a match at Saturday Night's main event. So we're looking toward SummerSlam.
Yeah, I mean, I think you had suggested Punk and Rollins at SummerSlam. That feels like it's, well, listen, Gunther is also a really big match, maybe even for a better match for
I agree
for
and like you, it's almost like you have Rollins in the background now with the briefcase, like, up until, like, this angle here, like, they certainly did this Punk Gunther thing with, like, a purpose. The people reacted to it in a big way. So,
yeah. And, of course, you got Rollins versus Knight, which they did announce for Saturday night's main event. So I have to imagine Punk will probably get involved in Rollins versus Knight, you would think, right? Have some sort of involvement in that segment.
That's possible.
Gunther will be there. That'll main event. I'm just trying to think if, like, we'll see a Gunther-Punk interaction as early as a Saturday night's main event, or if that's something they do afterwards.
It's definitely possible. Like that is a way that if you had Gunther retain the title, rather than ending the show on a downer of Goldberg losing, it's Punk coming out at the end of the show, going face to face with Gunther, and you at least go off the air with, like, a big tease of something.
Punk defending Goldberg, the biggest Bret Hart fan defending Goldberg. That'll be interesting.
Oh boy, maybe
Bret shows up for the retirement.
I was just kidding. I didn't care.
Brett comes out and retires Goldberg by costing him the match.
Goldberg spears him and he's got the plate on.
Oh, yeah. Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chopped Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA Podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chop-tees.com/post-wrestling.
Judgment Day are with all of their belts, including Roxanne Perez, and Raquel is asking, we're replacing Liv just like that? And Balor mentions, I had my own shoulder injury. I know how long it takes to rehab. So Raquel reluctantly goes along, and they hold a vote, and they all agree to allow Perez as the new member, and thus turning Liv Morgan babyface upon her return months down the road.
And
Perez,
even Dom had to, they all had to be reluctant. But
Dom said allegedly yes when he was forced to vote. He wanted to abstain. But Perez at the end says, I just want to help everyone while Liv is gone. And as she stares at Dom, says, I'll do anything. Perez is great in this role. But yeah, this is kind of rejuvenated Judgment Day. And you've got all the belts on them at the moment. And
yeah, it makes me wonder, like, this was clearly obviously always going to be the direction with this Roxanne, you know, Finn Balor thing, right? So I guess I'd always wondered, or I'm wondering, how they would have got here without the Liv injury. Because it almost felt like the Liv injury was so, like, worked so perfectly for this scenario.
It's worked in very well for the story they were telling with Roxanne Perez, instead of having her as kind of the understudy that was maybe, you know, her and Liv were kind of at odds, or we know it would have been like Liv and Nikki for Evolution. So you wonder how much this would have even been focused on going into Evolution, where you could have argued that that was presented like that would have been the main event of the show.
Oh, man, I can't do that. But I mean,
they kind of shot it.
No,
like,
title
it was, like,
at stake.
The big match. Yeah, maybe not. Yeah. Then we had a Kairi Sane video. This felt like this was WWE getting into AI production here. Unless they rented out this.
It just felt like a very high budget production, like, you know, similar to what they, like, videos they shot in the past, like it with the green screen.
Yeah. You know? She doesn't talk big, but fights with heart and honor. She's a former NXT and tag champion. She warns all the champions that she will have their gold. Every single one. So maybe
everyone?
She's coming for everybody at Evolution.
Belt Collector? And okay, Mercedes Moné, watch out.
She is not afraid of anything. She doesn't run from the storm. She runs into it. And the Pirate Princess is here. So is there a storm coming for Jade?
Interesting. They're on different brands, John. How would that ever be possible?
How would they possibly get around that impossible obstacle?
It seems like they are, like, actually making an effort to push Kairi Sane. Like, she's been back. She's been, like, just a mere background player. You could say, like, the lowest ranking member Damage Control at times. Seems like they're actually making
an effort. Damage Control even exists at this point.
Right. Yeah,
it's like Asuka, Io, and Kairi. Like, they're not even like a thing anymore.
It doesn't exist. Yeah, no. But like, there seems like they're putting some effort into giving Kairi consistent airtime. Gave her a really nice looking video here to promote her. So we'll see how far they take it.
Bayley and Lyra Valkyria. This was the match. I thought they had a really nice match, but this was another one where it just felt like the audience was maybe realizing, man, we've got a long taping ahead of us. So Bayley uses a Boston Crab. Lyra reverses out. There's a superplex by Bayley. Lyra connects with the spinning neckbreaker, and then Bayley responds with the sunset bomb into the corner, and they're trading bridges back and forth, and each pin the other with the shoulders down, and it gets ruled a draw in 10 minutes and 19 seconds. So they continue to fight into the crowd, and they eventually get separated, and you were left at the end of this thinking three-way match for Evolution, which I think everyone thought of.
Yeah,
I just can't imagine they're not doing a big Becky match on this Evolution show.
Well, SummerSlam feels like they're peaking already too quick for SummerSlam. But yeah, I'd probably think Evolution too. I thought it was a really good technical battle.
The match. Yeah, it was
strong match. But yeah, not a ton of heat this late into the show. And the finish, like, I kind of felt like Lyra getting her shoulders pinned felt kind of like forced, like not the best looking, but I thought it was very ambitious, you know.
Yeah, well, maybe Jade Cargill and Asuka could have used some of this shoulder trappings to the mat for their match. Knight and Rollins are added to Saturday night's main event, and Jackie is chasing down Punk. He explains he has receipts for everybody and tells LA Knight to get to the back of the line with Seth Rollins, and LA Knight says, "I am the line."
Yeah. What do you mean? What's notable about that?
I don't know. I didn't know what that meant. I am the line.
Get behind the line. And then he said, "I am the line.
I am the line." I hope that's his new catchphrase. I am the line.
Okay.
Zayn's getting taped up. He tells Penta, "Yeah, I'm still good." So they take on Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed. These guys are just an awesome-looking tag team. It's unfortunate that they're above the tag titles, so they're probably never going for these belts. But if you put the tag belts on these two, be a fun run. You'd make those tag belts feel very important.
They would only hold the belts if, like, they would want, like, Rollins' faction to hold all the gold, similar to, like, what the Judgment Day do. Like, that really is the function of the Raw tag titles right now. It's just to kind of, like, for photo op. And not much more.
They would be the Hurt Syndicate on Raw if they had the tag titles, where you would not have any believable challengers. Heyman tells Reed that Rollins has left on a jet, so we have no Rollins. The babyfaces double teamed Reed and Breaker, sending them out, and then Penta and Zayn did the Penta dance together before hitting dives. You and I should try that.
I think my Penta walking days are over.
Reed is in control of Penta after the break. They attack Zayn's ribs, but then he connects with an Arabian press, which is not great for the ribs, and he points to the sky, a la Sabu. And the sunset bomb is hit to Reed for a two count. Zayn avoids a doomsday device, and we go through a second commercial break. They pull Zayn away, and finally, after Reed misses a senton, he tags Penta. Penta, this was the best. So Penta hits the sacrifice onto Bron Breakker. And earlier in the night, we had seen the effects of this sacrifice where Gable is gone for months. I understand this is used in most of his matches and it's not like it's debilitating. Bron Breakker not only didn't sell this, he got right up and military pressed this guy in the air. It's like, what was even the purpose of this?
I feel like we've discussed this about like Penta. If not Penta, like it would have been the Shayna Baszler or like somebody with a similar spot. If you're good, you can't both do it as like your sort of like punt level type of like, you know, once in a year type of like ultimate move and also do it as a regular move in the match. You can't have it both ways. So I don't like it. I think he should just at this point save it for like a big, big moment where somebody has to go away for a long time. But I don't know.
Yeah, this one was just comical. I mean, just military presses him show. After this. Heyman distracts the referee, so Reed crotches Penta. This sets up the Breakensteiner and then a sit-out powerbomb. Zayn makes the save, and Reed misses the tsunami. Zayn comes in, goes for the haluva kick, but Braun cuts him off with a flying clothesline, and Zayn manages to lift up Reed for a suplex, but as he hits it, gets up and is speared by Braun in the injured ribs, and Breakker pins him in 18 minutes and 24 seconds. But very good. I have to say, like, I thought the wrestling was very good on tonight's show. Like the four matches, like they were, some of them suffered from a lack of heat for some of them, but I thought generally the wrestling was pretty good on this show.
Yeah, I thought this was a very strong match and great match later here centered around Zayn's ribs leading to that Braun Breakker spear. I really like Braun and Bronson as a team, and I hope they, I don't have to just say Braun Bronson.
I think they called them Braun Braun at one point tonight.
I think Punk called them Braun Braun. Would that be a more satisfying name? Braun Squared. I like them a lot as a team of these like highly athletic monsters. Great performance from Zayn selling the injury, and they did manage to really get this card by the end.
So Braun spears Penta after the match. They go for a tsunami to Sammy, but Jay arrives with a chair and beats the hell out of Breakker and Reed and just blasts them with the chair and stands with Zayn and Penta, ending the show.
Mm-hmm. I would say to me, in terms of star power, and I understand this because it's both a double taping and also because of the Saudi travel, but coming off of like Night of Champions, it felt like the show was lacking a bit in star power and clear direction. I mean, we did not have either, King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring winner because both are going to be on SmackDown. No Cena, obviously, no Punk, no Cody. Well,
you got Punk.
Yeah, but it was so brief. Like, yeah. I didn't think it was like a meaningful, like, you know, like
there was a show.
CM Punk moment. Yeah. Okay.
No, there was no rap, though, unfortunately.
No. Yeah. We've seen plenty of Punk already this past week. But a lot of development for the Judgment Day, which I thought this show was notable for. And they did make a lot of announcements for Evolution and also Saturday night's main event.
Yeah. That's the thing. They've got this quick turnaround, and you've got like, we'll say two shows to promote. If you throw in NXT, they've got three shows to promote that weekend. I mean, that's just crazy that you've got to build for all of these. And you're kind of dropping some hints for SummerSlam as well. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they have a lot to promote over the next like 4 to 5 weeks. And we got two SummerSlams as well. So they had to pack everything into this. But we got Evolution kind of like by the end of the SmackDown tapings, like you pretty much have a good idea of like the whole card, or at least most of it. But there you go. That was Raw coming off of Night of Champions. And could you imagine this crowd in Pittsburgh at the end of this tag match? Could you imagine if they had a 3-hour SmackDown ahead of them?
I mean, it wouldn't have been
It wouldn't have been three hours,
but
I don't know if you're getting through that in like, what, two?
Well, this past weekend, they had to do that, didn't they? They recorded the three-hour show in how long? About something like two, right? No? I don't know.
It was still two-plus hours because you were airing it with breaks and stuff on Netflix.
So. Right. Spoilers? You want to go through them?
Yes. Okay. We will. We don't have too much here, but the spoilers from SmackDown. So we mentioned Trish Stratus did show up in Pittsburgh, and she's challenging Tiffany Stratton for the title at Evolution. This was during a segment where Tiffany came out, and she was interrupted by Jade Cargill, who will get the title match at SummerSlam. So I guess in theory, she would be getting the winner of this match. And Tiffany announced she would be facing Trish on July the 13th. Then we also had the opening segment with Cody and Randy out there, and Randy is still playing babyface, stating I couldn't pull the trigger, but I respect you and blah, blah, blah. And Drew McIntyre made his return during the segment, mocking them for respecting each other. And it ended with Drew taking an RKO and Randy versus Drew announced for Saturday night's main event. So we have three matches for Saturday night's main event and 3, 4, 5 matches for Evolution so far.
Okay. So Drew's back after neck injury, right?
Yeah, he's been out since the last Saturday night's main event.
Mm. Okay. Cool. So
he's got Randy Orton. All right. We are going to say goodbye to everyone on the YouTube channel. We're going to take some... wait a minute. This is...
We are. If you want to join us for the XL edition, do sign up and become a free member at postwrestlingcafe.com. Again, costs nothing. But if you want to sign up for our G1 coverage and everything that's coming up for the month of July... $6 a month gets you all this stuff. If you want to sign up for beyond that, by all means, but $6 a month gets you access to everything we've ever recorded exclusively for the Post Wrestling Cafe, including these XL editions where John and I spent the better part of half an hour talking about WWE Unreal. John and Brandon Thurston breaking the news on a lot of those topics today. As well, Ben Askren, the latest on him, the latest on the Vince McMahon, Janelle Grant lawsuit, Zack Sabre Jr. winning the IWGP heavyweight title, an update on Tom Lawler, and also some ratings notes. So join us in the cafe.
Yes. And while we always promote this at the beginning of the month, when you sign up, that's when your 30 days starts. So you get the full 30 days, no matter what time of the month you sign up. So you can time it accordingly if you're swooping in for the G1. But all of that can be found postwrestlingcafe.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 27th through July 7th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
This month at postwrestlingcafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. Postwrestlingcafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.